And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's text is Jeremiah chapter 26, this Old Testament prophet. As I was preparing my sermon this week, I was thinking of the fact that not just this Sunday, but all of our midweek sermons have also been on the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, people like that, that the Lord has spoken through. This is the trick that comes with it, and Israel noticed this. There are real prophets, and there are false prophets. And so the question becomes, how do you know the difference? That calls for discernment. There's a lot of competing voices and people trying to grab your attention, and they say one thing or they say another thing. Lord, how do we know? They actually raise that question. We mentioned this on the Wednesday classes. Last week we talked about, Wednesday, not classes, but sermons. Last week was Elijah. The previous week was the intro to the prophets. And I pointed out that in Deuteronomy 18, the people said, Lord, how do we know the good ones from the bad ones? And it's really very simple. God said, if a prophet speaks and his word comes to pass, that's a real prophet. So that seems simple enough, but here's one of the tricky things. We always mention there's lots of Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, the Savior, Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's that passage. That was written 1,000 years before Jesus was born. That's a wonderful proof of God's word. Isaiah 7, behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he'll call him Emmanuel. That was written 700 years before the Lord Jesus was born. And we look at those things and say, what an amazing proof, not just good guesses, right? The prophets speak with amazing accuracy about future events. That verifies their word. But if the word of the prophet is to be tested by, does his word come to pass or not? This past Wednesday, one of the members of our congregation, after the service was over, they said to me, so we say that the word of the prophet is confirmed by their word coming true, but if sometimes the word of the prophet takes 1,000 years to come true, how do you know? You see the point? That's right. That's a great question. I want to say, I stumbled in my answer. I said, well, sometimes with the Lord, you have to be patient. That's not untrue, but 1,000 years is a long time. And I also said, this isn't wrong, but this is what I came up with. It caught me off guard, kind of what I came up with on the fly. I said, we live on this side of Christ, so we can be thankful that we can look back and say, I can look through Christ and into the Old Testament and say, see how they line up, right? So we can say, well, it's a part of the joy of being a New Testament Christian is I can see Christ fulfilling the Old Testament prophets. I don't think those answers are totally amiss, but I do want to say something else. Part of the word of the prophets is what we would call those long-range prophecies. The Messiah is coming and he comes centuries later. But I want us to be clear about this. Part of the message of the prophets is what we're going to call short-term prophecy. Short-term prophecy. Jeremiah said, if we don't repent, God will send the Babylonians against this place. He went to the capital city, Jerusalem, the place of the temple, the place of Israel's worship life, and said, if we don't repent, God will come against this place. And there were other prophets at that same time. They were prophets. They were schooled. They were preachers. And they said, the Babylonians will never come against this place. They said, our God has delivered us in the past, and he'll deliver us again. And even if they do come, God will defeat them. So the question becomes, if Jeremiah says the Babylonians will come and other prophets say the Babylonians will never come here, who was right? You see the point? There is a short-term prophecy. Jeremiah, by the way, threw in some extra stuff. Not only did he say the Babylonians will come, he named who it would be. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11, he says the Babylonians are going to come here and we will be in captivity for 70 years. It's an amazing prophecy, right? The specificity of that prediction. We'll be in captivity for 70 years. So did the Babylonians come to Jerusalem? They did. They conquered it. Did they take the Jews captive? They did. For how long were they in Babylon? 70 years. So is Jeremiah a reliable prophet? Yes. That's the first part of our sermon this morning. My notes call it the accuracy of the prophets. We look into the prophets. There are short-term prophecies. And we can look and say, did they get it right? All the prophets that said the Babylonians will never come? False prophets, right? That is why we read the book of Jeremiah and not the book of Hananiah. Right? Are there false prophets? Yes. No. All that is to sort of say, there's certain prophets, they're speaking the truth of God's word. God has sent them. Their message is from God. So once we get, here's the ones that are the right ones. Here's the ones that are accurate. These are the prophets that God really sent. I want us to get this. We want to move from beyond the just the accuracy of the prophets. We want to get to the spiritual teaching of the prophets. Once we know this is a true prophet of God, then we want to know, well, what did he say? And this is one of the things that you notice when you read the prophets. Very often people think, well, I'm going to read the prophets and discover things about the future. And there is that. The prophets do describe things in the future. They describe especially things that were in their future. But sometimes people think, well, I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to find out which political party wins the elections this November. Is that in here? Does the Bible tell me who's going to win? By the way, we have baseball back, right? So does it tell me who will win the World Series this year? It does not. And so we have to be careful. There's a sort of kind of curiosity then kind of look into the Bible and say, well, I'm going to find the cool stuff. And when you do that, and you look up the most of the preaching of the prophets, it's not always foretelling, right? Some of you have heard this distinction. Some of it's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. It's preaching. What is the spiritual message of the prophets? Turn to God. That's not a prediction of the future. The prophets will regularly speak on behalf of God. Return to me and I'll return to you. By the way, if you're wondering about the future, you should know, I've read the last book, Revelation. Some of you have too. I don't know if you know, but Christ wins. Right? We want to be clear about that. The kingdoms of this world are going to bow their knee. They're going to bow the head to Christ the King, right? That's what the book of Revelation says. But there's all kinds of specifics we don't get, but we do get this. Turn to God. Now, I call it the spiritual teaching of the prophets. I want us to get this today. People say I'm spiritual but not religious. The Bible never means that kind of vague spirituality. The Bible talks about personal things. It talks about practical things. The Bible is God-centered. It says stuff like don't oppress the poor. Don't follow other gods. By the way, those gods aren't real. Right? Is Jeremiah reliable? Yes. His prophecies are reliable. And that, I want us to get this, the reliability of the prophecies are there to validate all the other teaching. Does that make sense? The prophecies were true. That means his other preaching is true. Now, Jeremiah was called by God to preach. And if you know Jeremiah chapter 1, when God called him, how did that go? Jeremiah said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And I don't want to preach. In fact, he said, God, I am too young and I don't even know how to speak. Mentioned this before. When Jeremiah said, I'm too young to know how to speak, he was 30 years old. We read that passage and think he was a teenager. He was not. And God said to him, do not say that I am too young. Where I send you, you'll go. And what I tell you to say, you'll say. So how did that go? Because God sent him with a message of repentance. Do people want to hear a message of repentance? Jeremiah 26, verse 8. Jeremiah was done preaching. and they surround him. I want us to notice the text is so specific. The priests, the prophets, and the people crowd in on him. You get the intimidation, right? Literally, crowd in on him. You must die. That's a response to your sermon, isn't it? You must die. Every time I read that text, I think, so cancel culture is not new, right? He said something I didn't want to hear. This is a challenge for us. In our day and age, it's not unlike his, by the way, our culture has decided that many things are no longer sinful that the Bible describes as sin. If the culture decides this is no longer sinful, we're modern people. We've outgrown that. God's word is outdated and we can choose not to follow it anyway. We have chosen our own way. What are we supposed to say? We're supposed to stick with the word of God, aren't we? To say what God commands. But we do want to get this. If everybody else is agreeing what the Bible calls sin, we don't think sinful anymore. If we call it sin, they're not going to like it anymore. And so Jeremiah responds, the Lord sent me. He has to be very, very clear. He's rooted in, I'm not speaking my words, I'm speaking the word of God. And because of where we are, I do get Christians say to me, Pastor, what are we supposed to do in our day and age? Are you ready for the answer from Jeremiah? You speak the truth of God's word. And then did you hear what he said in verse 14? He says to them, I'm in your hands. Do whatever you think is good and right. Can we imagine what he just said? I am going to speak the truth of God's word, and people might like it, they might hate it, but you guys do with me what you think is right. That's powerful stuff. Are we prepared to say that? The word of God says this. Do with me what you want. That's pretty strong. So I want us to get there's the accuracy of the prophets, but there's the spiritual teaching of the prophets, and we have that in this word. But our last part of my message, I want to call it this. I want us to get the irony of sin and grace. And I said the irony. It's ironic in a way. I want us to hear. So Jeremiah has been preaching against Jerusalem. Jeremiah has been preaching against the sin of the people. God sent him to do that, and he had to do it. But somehow when Jeremiah preached, they heard it only as condemnation. It is not only a message of condemnation. Here's what he said in verse 13. Reform your ways. Literally in Hebrew means make your ways new or make them right. Reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Important word here. And obey the Lord who? Your God. He's trying to remind them who they are. And then he says, then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. Isn't that what happens? Daniel preached in Nineveh, the Lord is going to overthrow this town. What did they do? They repented. What happened? The Lord relented. Reform your ways and your actions. The Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. This is why I'm calling it the irony of sin and grace. The false prophets, then and now, false prophets love to say, everything's fine. Everything's perfectly okay. We can live the way we want. You can live the way you want. God's okay with that. And it sounds open-minded and tolerant. But what does it lead to? It leads to judgment, right? That which often sounds tolerant leaves people in their sin and leaves them to face condemnation. But the irony works the other way too. God's law says all have sinned. Let's be clear about this. Who has sinned? All. Even the good people of the church. Even the pastor of the church. All have sinned. But the gospel is this: Christ died for sinners. Christ died for who? For sinners. Who's that? Us. Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. I always read that. I think that's a terrifying verse in a way. I grew up my whole life in the church, right? Religious people. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. It lets me think about who I am before God. But this is the irony of the gospel. When we admit our sinfulness, what happens? Forgiveness, right? Forgiveness and grace and mercy. Jesus said these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. I want to pause there. By the way, the death of Jeremiah is not listed in the Bible, but Jewish tradition says they stoned him to death. They got tired of his preaching, and they stoned him to death. So what are they going to do with Jesus? Crucifying him. You who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. The you were not willing part is an unfortunate reality of that day. I want to set that aside for a minute. I want us to hear the wonderful thing that Jesus says. I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Isn't that a delightful image? Do you know who we are? We're a bunch of helpless little peeps. Right? That's what Jesus is saying. We are helpless, weak, wandering little peeps. And the Lord Jesus spreads his wing over you. Isn't that a wonderful message? To recognize who we are and to put ourselves under him. And so, in church this morning, you said what we say every week. I said to you, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's in here, right? And you responded by saying, but if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. And I said, let us confess our sins to God, our Father. And you said, most merciful God, we do confess. And I said to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Isn't that the irony? The prophets have said to us, return to the Lord. Repent of your sins. And if we turn to him, he turns to us with grace and forgiveness in Christ Jesus, the crucified one. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.